There are many presidents who, when they're in office, make a strong impression on people via their acts, words, and decisions. And out of that group comes a very select few whose stature continues to grow over time. My guest with his new book puts the focus on one of these presidents, whose name you certainly should know, his acts. Most of them also well known to you. This book takes the man's words and transforms them into tools that could be used today. Here to talk more about this with his book, Why Lincoln Matters, is the former governor of the state of New York. We say good morning to Governor Mario Cuomo. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for presenting, well, what is actually unusual. Normally, when people take a look back for either admiration or inspiration, it tends to be the colonial boys that get the spotlight, and you took a little shorter route.
Yeah, I had written a book on Lincoln some time ago, actually edited a book called Lincoln on Democracy with Harold Holzer, a real Lincoln scholar, and it had a lot of success as a compilation of Lincoln on Democracy. And since then, I've been asked repeatedly by various publishers to do a second book on Lincoln as an historian. And I said, look, I'm not really an historian. I'm not a Lincoln scholar. And I don't do Lincoln speeches, Lincoln shoes, Lincoln love life, Lincoln wars, Lincoln generals. And so unless I see an opportunity to write something I think is really relevant and something that I have something to contribute to, I'm not going to do a Lincoln book. Well, the something came in the form of the Memorial of 9/11, the first annual Memorial of 9/11, in 2002. And what happened was that Governor Pataki, Mayor Bloomberg, and former Mayor Rudy Giuliani appeared to memorialize, and I wondered what they would say about 9/11 and how they would interpret it for us and what it means and how we should react to it. And they didn't. They recited the names of the deceased and they read Lincoln. And I said to myself, well, what this is a reminder that Lincoln is the most popular source of political attribution. Everybody tries to stand next to Lincoln, Democrats, Republicans, everybody. Clinton did, Reagan did, Franklin Roosevelt did, Adlai Stevenson did, Woodrow Wilson did, etc. I said, it means that he's more than just a revered relic. He's relevant. So if you're going to ask him about 9/11 and terrorism, ask him about preemptive war. Ask him about the tax cuts you gave. He invented the progressive income tax. It was unconstitutional when he did it, and it had to be done in the 16th Amendment eventually. But he was very strong on taxation. Ask him what he would think of the plight of the working people now and the fragmentation of our society into the super rich and the middle class that's sliding downward and poor who are as poor as they've been in a long, long time. Ask him what he thinks of race. Ask him what he thinks of the role of religion. He had a lot to say on that subject. And that's what this book does. It takes all of those issues and it asks Lincoln about them and he discusses them.
I want to start with religion and Lincoln because in our day and time, it seems like it's a topic treated as an all or nothing. Let's bring it into the picture or let's eliminate it from the picture. And you can certainly correct me if I'm wrong in my interpretation, but Lincoln comes through as a man of God, but yet not a preacher.
Lincoln was not messianic. Lincoln did not believe that God was speaking to him directly, as some people appear to believe. Lincoln was a person who believed in God, but remember, God is not definable, even by most of the religions that believe in a God. I happen to be a Roman Catholic, and if you look at the book on Catholicism or any encyclopedia or any dictionary, and you ask for a definition of God, they will say things like, you know, the creator, et cetera, that don't really define the Richard McBrien from Notre Dame will tell you, well, you can't define God because we're limited in our intellectuality, and the very notion of God is that it's a force of infinite power. Since we don't have infinite capacity, we can't really measure it and define it. And so he talks about God and creator, et cetera, et cetera. But when asked whether he had a specific religion, he said, no, I'm not specifically Christian or Buddhist or Mohammed, Muslim or Jewish or any other religion. They said, why not? He said, because all those religions have specific rules and regulations, prohibitions, admonitions, many of which you can't arrive at with pure intellect, and you need to suspend your intellect and make an act of faith, which is a kind of leap that says, I can't prove it, but I'm going to choose to believe it. He said, I can't go that far. And so, show me a religion that says only this, love one another as you love yourself, and I will belong to that religion. In other words, he reduced it to a very simple pragmatic. Be good to one another. And being good to one another helped to make this world better. That, interestingly, combines the two propositions that the Hebrews believed and made the basis of their religion, which is the beginning of monotheism. Christianity has the same two principles, so do all the other religions, whether they're Confucianism, Buddhism, believe in a God, don't believe in a God. They all start with two propositions. We should love one another, and we should work together, because we're interdependent and interconnected to make this a better life and better world. That's all of Lincoln. He was basically very simple about it. Despite all his mentions of the Bible, and he had a Bible by his side, and everybody talked Bible in those days, he was not formally religious.
Wanted to use that as the foundation for what Lincoln's all about, because it appears to me that, much like we would say today, Lincoln was one to cut to the chase, so to speak,
absolutely.
Fast.
Absolutely. He was one of the brilliant, brilliant people who have become presidents. He truly, in my opinion, it's hard to imagine anybody being more intelligent than he was. Certainly, I never have seen evidence of a mind that was better at analysis than he was. He was a magnificent combination of common sense, the kind of common sense that he had to have, you know, fighting his way, being a rail splitter and running a little shop and running a raft down to New Orleans and being poor and struggling and being a politician at a local level and then in Congress. I mean, he had to have common sense. But beside that, he had, and beside his poetical gift, because he wrote like an angel when he chose to, in the Gettysburg Address and in the inaugurals, he had this fantastic ability, subtlety, precision in dealing with legal concepts and logical concepts. So, he was truly a once in a couple of lifetimes, at least.
Talking with former New York Governor Mario Cuomo, his new book, Why Lincoln Matters, here on Issues and Ideas. Explain how words of another time could provide not just admiration, but inspiration for today, because someone could make the argument that observations and ideas expressed for 40 million people in 1862 might not be effective in 2004 for 270 million people.
Then you'd have to throw away Aesop's Fables, the Old Testament, Aristotle, Plato, all the ancient wisdom. You'd have to throw away the Founding Fathers, who were used every day by the courts to judge what the words should mean today. You'd have to throw away all of history. What is history except an attempt to, you know, how do we use history? To instruct ourselves as to the future. That is the best use of history. We do it all the time in all of our life. And talk about Reagan. Reagan is past. I'm sure he's in heaven. He was a great American, and he's obviously beloved. But don't the politicians say, this is a tax cut like Reagan did, and that's why we did it. That's what Bush says. And, of course, you have to use history. Now you have to adapt, obviously, and I say this in the book, obviously, the president, Abraham Lincoln, didn't anticipate internet, although a lot of the things he said fit it very nicely. It's the general wisdom that we extract from him. And in some cases, it gets very particular. For example, preemptive war. That question precisely was asked of Lincoln by his partner, Herndon. He said, shouldn't there be a time when a president says that country may invade us, and therefore we will preemptively invade them? And he said, no, don't ever do that. Don't ever give the president that power. Because that's why we gave the Congress the power to declare war, So a president wouldn't be in a position where he could start a war cynically for whatever reasons he had and pretend it was for a different reason. Or a president could make a mistake and think that there was a threat there that didn't exist. So whatever you do, don't have preemptive war. That sounds very much as though he anticipated what was going to happen 100 and a half years later.
Just to wrap up with Governor Mario Cuomo, to be bipartisan in this matter, if either one of the two candidates for president, President Bush or Senator Kerry, would get up and attempt to align themselves with Abraham Lincoln, what would you say, without name, without either one being named, but what would you say to that candidate who chose to do that?
Well, I would say to President Bush, who has done it, he's a great follower of Lincoln, that, well, look, President Bush, you might find for yourself some comfort in what Ashcroft and you did with the Patriot Act, because President Lincoln did suspend the writ of habeas corpus and did twist the Constitution in the Civil War. I happen to think that President Lincoln was wrong when he did that, and so do some of the Lincoln scholars, although many of them defend him, and that's all brought out in the book. So there you might look for comfort from Lincoln, but I think if Lincoln were around, he would say, look, when I did it, it was to keep the United States of America together. It was about to be fragmented, broken in half, and that would have ended the American experiment in democracy. And so he had a lot more cause than you, but you can take comfort with that. And you could also take comfort from your attempt to stack the Supreme Court with people who agree with you on Roe against Wade, because Lincoln certainly did everything he could to stack the Supreme Court with people who agreed with him politically, as distinguished from people who were good judges. But on all the other judgments you've made, on the war, the preemptive war, he would definitely have disagreed. On giving $1 trillion or so in tax cuts to the richest 2 million people in America while the middle class was sliding down and the poor were desperate and Social Security, Medicare in trouble, and you had to cut veterans' benefits, that he would have been appalled at. He invented the progressive income tax during the Civil War. So I think overall, Mr. President, you would be a disappointment to Lincoln more than an affirmation of Lincoln. As to Kerry, I think he has not yet made his move. I think everybody is watching the president now, as we should, because the issues of war and terrorism are preoccupying us, and he is in charge of those battles. And so right now it's Bush against Bush. In the end, before we vote, the country will turn, they'll study Bush and President Bush, and they'll make a decision about him, but then they will turn and say, okay, Kerry, it's your time to get in the spotlight. Tell us how you are different and why you think you are better. He's not done it yet, so he's not come with the full package yet, and therefore it's too early to judge how close he'll come to Clinton. If he reads the book and agrees with everything I wrote, which, of course, nobody will, I'm sure. But if he does, then he would agree very much with Lincoln, and I think, frankly, the formula would be the best one for the United States of America. And readers can find that in the back of the book, where I do a pretend State of the Union message to the Congress today, 2004, by Abraham Lincoln in Lincoln-esque language. And it deals with all of today's issues as he would present them to the American people through the Congress.
What Governor Cuomo has done with his book, Why Lincoln Matters, is that no matter what side of the political fence you are on, maybe you're even straddling the top of the fence at this point in time, we have quite a few people of that ilk, he demonstrates the value of history, what the words of history can provide for the events and the actions of not just today, but also of tomorrow. And also, you know what? Believe it or not, even though it was probably a little more dry when you were back in your school days, history's fun, too, when you take a trip back, and a lot of fantastic surprises can come of journeys through history. So if you want to get a little bit of the historical bug and get a little lesson on current events, strange combination, but the governor makes it work in his book, Why Lincoln Matters. Also in the stores, Governor Cuomo, you state your case and you honor history both equally well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.